Hey, for the last 4 weeks now, this is the fourth week, we've been talking about preparation. And preparation for a Holy Spirit move. And the title of my sermon, I brought it out last week, and it was kind of a long title. And it was Preparation for a Move and a Move of and with the Spirit. For spiritual gifts to be in operation for the benefit of ourselves and those around us. That is a long title. But you know what? We need the manifestations of the Spirit working in this place. We need words of wisdom. We need prophecy. We need tongues, interpretation tongue. We need gifts of healing. We need miracles. We need special faith. We need all those different gifts of the Spirit moving in this body here in order for us to be a completely healthy body. Now, do we force those things to happen in our services? No, because in that same passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, as the Spirit wills when we come together like this. So I'm not going to force a word of wisdom. I'm not going to force a word of knowledge. I'm not going to force a prophecy, tongue, none of that. I'm not going to force any of it. It's as the Spirit wills amongst us. And so that's how we're going to operate. But I do believe that we need those things functioning in this place. So just by way of a quick review of last week, I said, first off, some think that a move of the Spirit is something that only happens in church. Whoo, man. If we want to be living the life that God wants us to live, we need to get that thinking out of our head. Now, do those things happen in church? A move of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit happen in church? Sure they do. But a lot of times we'll think that a move of the Spirit, though, is we get all happy. You know, we start dancing and we start jumping and we start crying and we start laughing and we start shouting. All those different emotions. Now, do those things come along with some of the gifts of the Spirit when they're in operation? Sure they do. But the gifts of the Spirit are not dependent on our emotions. They aren't dependent on how we feel. It's as the Spirit moves that these things are in manifestation in our body. You know, we may have things like healings, physical and emotional. We have words of knowledge, like I talked about, words of wisdom. We might even have somebody fall out under the power of God. And I gave you Bible for that last week. When Paul, when he's on that road to Damascus, and the Spirit of God shows up, it says that the glory fell, that he couldn't stand in his presence, and he was down on the ground. And there was many examples that I gave in the Old Testament, how the people could not stand in the presence of God. So when the presence of God is here, and it's thick, there may be points where people just can't stand under the presence of God any longer. And they do, bam, like that on the ground. I used to say we don't need catchers. Because if you're falling and it's for real, you're not going to get hurt. Amen. But guess what? Sometimes people are people. And they fall because everybody else does. And they're going to get hurt. So, we have catchers. But the way we feel is not what brings about the move of God. Also talked about how we have to realize that the Spirit is always moving. He's always moving. It's just, are we going to jump on with what he's doing? We've been talking here about preparation for a move of God for this is the fourth week, and we're going to actually probably get into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 next week. But there's preparation, there's foundation, there's things that have to be in place. We have to get ourselves positioned for that move of God. If we're out of position, if we're not operating in, and probably the main thing I'm going to talk about here today is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If we're not operating in love, if we're not operating in forgiveness, if we're not operating in those things, then it makes it hard for a move of God to happen in our midst. It's hard. It's not that he can't, because there are people that are, everybody here is great, I know. We all operate in love at all times. Every one of us, I understand that. But for those that don't, you know, that. But anyway. But he's always moving, and we need to recognize it. We need to move with him, not as we think he should move. If we come into this place and think that, well, if there's not a prophecy today, then God wasn't here. If the preacher doesn't have a suit coat on, then God wasn't here. I was sweating. I hope you don't mind I don't have my suit coat on. But if the preacher doesn't have a suit coat on, then God can't be here. There's thinking like that, just so you know. But we need to realize that he's always moving, and we need to get on board with what he's doing, not what we think he should do. Because once again, as we get into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's as the Spirit wills, not me. I want to be a vessel, and I want to just be. Let me be whatever it is you want me to be. If you want me to be the prophecy, I'm available. Tongue interpretation, I'm available. Healings, I'm available. I'm available for all that. But you know, our possible misguided expectations of what that looks like and what a move of the Spirit of God might look like, can hinder us from going in the direction that the Spirit wants to go. If we think it should go a certain way, but the Spirit is going a different way, then we can hinder the flow of the Spirit in this place. And we don't want to hinder the flow of the Spirit this way. We want the manifestations of the Spirit. I want to see people coming up here and healed of whatever it may be. You know what? We get on board with what the Spirit's wanting to do. Somebody comes in here with an arm that's like this or missing, he can grow that thing out. Whoa. Wait a second, that was just for the guys back in the Bible times. Yeah, well, you know, they said all that stuff, it was just for the apostles. All that stuff's gone away now. No. It says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says, the Bible says, get this, in John 14, 12, it says, this is Jesus talking, the things that I did, you're going to do also. Because he's going to be with the Father. Then he goes on to say, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, if you're asking in his name, then it's in accordance with his will. But if you ask anything in his name, he says he'll do it. So we want those things in operation here. These gifts, I said last week, these gifts should never exalt a man. Someone might say, well, when Brother so-and-so was here, when he was the pastor of the church, man, we had a move of God going on that it was just like no other. Don't ever exalt a man, because a man's going to let you down. We want to trust in the Holy Spirit. Or somebody might say, well, back in the day, the move was much stronger. You know, I've heard that before. You know, they can list all these different people from back in the day and how the move of God was much stronger. But you know what? If you keep focusing on the past, you won't see where God has taken you in the now and in the future. I think I mentioned that one other week. If you're constantly looking back, first of all, you can't see what's up here, and you're going to start running into things. You're going to end up getting hurt because you're not paying attention to what's ahead of you. If we pay attention to what's ahead of us, God's got some great things ahead of us. In Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, it says this, Paul speaking. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. So what's he saying when I press on? He's saying, you know, I'm moving forward in a steady, forceful way. And I had here, and I'm continuing, and I'm determined, and I'm hurrying forward. For what? Why is he saying that when I press on? He's saying here that I'm moving forward in a steady, forceful way. I'm determined, and I'm moving forward. For what? Toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. God's called me. He called those guys back in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, all those different movements back there of God. He called those guys for that moment. He's calling the people in this place and the body of Christ today for a moment today, for right now, to press forward, to reach out for the prize that he set before each and every one of us. But he's saying here, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He has a plan. He has a purpose for me. He has a plan. He has a purpose for you. And that is moving forward to complete the call that he has on each and every one of us today. It's not that we can't learn from those guys in the past. It's not that they can't be examples of what happened in the past and it affects where we are now, but God is saying, here's where you are now. Here's what I want you to do now. Let's move. Let's move forward. There's a call that we're not done yet. Just so you know, you're not done yet. You're not designed to just come to church on Sunday morning and say, I've done my thing for the week. We are 7 days a week for God. We are 7 days a week looking for a move of the Spirit in our lives to affect a world that needs Jesus so badly. Look around. Look around. This world needs Jesus badly. I'm not going to sit up here and say, I'm just soaking all this in. I want to have the blessing of God upon my life, and I do. But guess what? There's people out there that need Jesus. And we can get caught up in the manifestations of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it is for us today. It's for our benefit. It encourages us. But I'll tell you what, if you forget your first love, if you forget that you were called to go into all the world and preach the gospel, you've missed it. That's our first priority, is to preach Jesus to people. And then what's it say in Mark 16, 15? It said, then it goes on to say, and that you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You'll speak with new tongues. You'll cast out devils. It goes on to talk about all these different manifestations for the believer that his hands will be a part of. So if we forget the part that people need Jesus and that they got to be born again, we need to refocus. For God so loved the world that he gave. We so love God that we need to be willing to give of ourselves. Our best days are ahead of us. Our best days aren't behind us. I plan to be better off next week than I am today. Next year, Carrie will tell you, I take time at the end of each year and reevaluate where I've been, what I'm doing, where I'm at. Am I further along than I was the previous year? And if I find that there are some areas in my life that need tweaking, man, I get to tweaking. That's not the right word. Anyway, that means something else nowadays, I guess. But I make some adjustments in my life. So, but even these guys in the days of old, like your people talk about Brother Hagin and T.L. Osborne and Lester Summerall and Oral Roberts and all these different guys, these men of faith, this movement of faith back in that day, even they would tell you today, move on. God's got something for you guys today. So, I did say, though, that the move of God, these manifestations of the Spirit, not only do they need to be happening in your personal life, guess what? God can speak to you a word of knowledge in your own living room, in your car. He can speak these things to you. But I did say that it is important for it to happen at church also. We shouldn't just miss church for any old reason. Oh, Rick's trying to tell me I have to come to church. I'm trying to tell you, you should come to church. I realize there are things that in people's lives that they need to take care of, and you know, family obligations and things like that. But in Hebrews 10:25, in the New Century Version, it says, you should not stay away from the church meeting, as some are doing. But you should meet together and encourage one another. Do this even more as you see the day coming. And in the Voice translation, it says, not forgetting to gather as a community. As some have forgotten, did you realize we're a community? You guys are my company. You guys are the people I run with. That was a thing they used to say back in the day. These are the people I run with over here. You're my company. And so when I come together with you guys, I'm like, yeah. I mean, Peter and John, when they were in jail, they go back to their company and started telling, hey, here's all the things that happened. They went back to their people. You guys are my people. So we should meet together. Why? To encourage each other with the things that we go through, but to encourage each other, say, hey, guess what? Man, Jesus is coming back. Get ready. Matthew McConaughey, I've said it before, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready, he's coming back. And then I said the last thing with regards to my review here, it says, a move of the Spirit, meaning God is doing something here on the earth. A move with the Spirit implies we are to be moving as the Spirit directs. He wants us to come along. We are, I've said this before. I've heard another preacher say the same thing. And some people think it's bad theology. But God needs us. What do you mean God needs? God can do anything he wants. Well, who does he use here on this earth? He uses each and every one of us. He needs you. I need you. We need each other. And so the move and the manifestations of the Spirit do take place in church. Why? To encourage one another, to build each and every one of us up today. So today we're going to continue in the vein we started in 3 weeks ago. And this vein, to me, it is key to the body, to the Bible, and it's key to the move of the Spirit with regards to the gifts and the manifestations of the Spirit. Some would say, but Pastor, you've talked about this for 3 weeks now. Well, true. But you should never tire of the vein that we're going to continue to talk about today. And what's that vein? Love. So no matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter what I believe, I am bankrupt if I don't have love. So we're still leading up to 1 Corinthians 12 and the manifestation of the Spirit. And some start with, I'm not saying the Bible was written out of order, but some start with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to start with chapter 13 and go back to chapter 12, and then we may jump over into chapter 14. So that numbering system there might seem a little bit odd to you, but we're going to start in chapter 13. An effective chapter 12, to me, hinges on chapter 13. And we know chapter 13 is the what? It's the love chapter. Chapter 12, you know, it says that he does not wish us to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Well, what does the word ignorant mean? I mean, sometimes it has a negative connotation. Oh, you're just ignorant. Well, all that means is you're just not informed. You don't know. So he doesn't want us to be uninformed. He doesn't want us to not know about spiritual gifts and how he wants to apply them in the body. So we're going to be getting into that. But I believe that we should not be ignorant or unaware of chapter 13, which is love, which it affects what's going on in chapter 12, the gifts. So in Mark chapter 12, starting with verse 28, we're going to talk a little bit more about love today. Now, I was talking to somebody yesterday, I believe it was Gerhard I was talking to yesterday. I said, man, I just can't get off of love. He says, well, maybe you're supposed to be preaching on love. I said, I know, and maybe I'm supposed to be preaching to myself. Maybe that's why I can't get off of it. But we're going to start here at Mark chapter 12, starting with verse 28. He says, then one of the scribes, an expert of the Mosaic law, came up and listened to them arguing with one another, and noticing that Jesus answered them well, asked him, which commandment is first and most important of all? Jesus answered, first, the most important one is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, I like to go back to this, just back to the beginning of that verse here. It says that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and on and on. Well, the word shall, a synonym, I didn't pay attention in English much when I was in high school, carried it all. I wrote the paper out all in capital letters with no punctuation and handed it to my wife, my girlfriend at the time, and had her punctuate it, put commas and all that, so that my papers, I would get good grades on them. But as I've gotten a little older, I pay a little bit more attention to that. So when it says the word shall, a synonym to the word shall is the word must. And so if I read that with the word must, it says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your... This is the greatest commandments. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is... This is the second. You must unselfishly love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So if I'm loving God and I'm loving my neighbor, does that cover all the Ten Commandments? Sure it does. You're not going to kill somebody. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to covet. You're not going to do all those different things, all the different commandments, if you love God and if you love people. So, two most important commandments, love God and love your neighbor. So turn to your right and say, love you, neighbor. Turn to your left. Turn to your left. Turn to your left. Turn to your left. I won't call out a name. Turn to your left and say, love you, neighbor. You know what? It's crazy. But it's so crazy that there are so many passages that deal with love. So God must believe, God must be trying to get through to us that love is a big deal. Faith worketh by love. So if you don't love, how effective is your faith? I don't know. I guess that's a question we have to ask ourselves. I can give you an answer to it. But if you don't love, then it affects your faith. So let's start this off right. Okay, Romans 12 with verses 9 and 10. I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. And it says, let the inner movement of your heart always to be. Always to be. No other way. No other thought. Let the inner movement of your heart always to be to love one another. Well, gosh, we just talked about that back in Mark chapter 12. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love him and to love your neighbor. And now here we're looking down here in Romans, Paul is also saying, let the inner movement of your heart always to be to love one another. And never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Ooh, I thought the Passion Translation was pretty good with that. Never fake it. Don't put on a mask and come to church all smiles. Hey, I just love you. And leave the place talking about him. I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm just saying that's what the Bible's saying here. Don't put on a show. Don't put on a mask. Don't act like you love somebody. Don't act like you care somebody and you really get it together. We read a passage last week. It says, surely you ought to love one another. You're born again. You're believers. God loved you. You love him. We got to love each other. We're getting to spiritual gifts, just so you know. And like I said, probably next week. So finishing up here. It says, despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. Be devoted. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers. Be devoted. Very loving, very loyal. Place their needs above your own. Being devoted. To tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. We're family here. Does family squabble from time to time? You've never argued with your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, nobody, ever. Nobody ever has. But be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. Carrie and I said earlier, we got a number of people missing. They're still out of town. Their relatives are doing a lot of different things. But when people aren't here, we miss them. And I believe that it's because Carrie and I, we were divinely appointed to be here. And when we were at Bible college, it was spoken to us and we took it to heart that there are a people waiting for us to get there. Didn't know who they were. I thought they were in North Carolina. You know, that's where I thought we would be. My daughter thought it was up where they lived. She thought that we were to start a church in her town and she had already planned out. She was our praise and worship leader. And so she had it all planned out for us. There was another church in Chillicothe, Illinois, that was looking for a pastor, and they approached me on that. There's another church in Sparlin, Illinois. They approached me to be a pastor there. My home church where I came from, they wanted us to come back there. I was called this last week to come and potentially audition for a church in Florida that had a congregation of 300 people. But that's not my divine appointment. That's not my there. This is my there. And so when I am here and when my people, when somebody is missing, Carrie and I, we miss them. We miss their presence. We miss their supply. We miss what it is that they bring to this body. Why? Because we love each and every one of you guys. Do we know you fully? No. But because you're a believer, God tells me to love, I love. And as I get to know you and I get to know some of your quirks, get to know your personalities and things like that, then, you know, that makes it even better for me because I like strange people. No wonder I like you. Never mind. No wonder I like myself so much. People have called me strange. But that's okay. I don't mind. But when somebody's missing, it doesn't feel right. When somebody in the family is missing, it doesn't feel right. And I like to be brutally honest with you when I can be. I don't give you all the details of my life because you don't need to know. Just so you know. But in our own personal family, we've had one member of our family that has been missing for, well, we know where she's at. But as far as family get-together, she probably hasn't been there in 6 years. And it bothers us. We had a conversation with her this last week and letting her know, you know, do you not think that it bothers us that all of our girls aren't together? I don't like the drama. I don't want to be a part of drama. I don't like drama. Just so you know, I don't like drama. But anyway, I don't like the drama that's being caused in the relationship there. I want that mended. I want there to be peace. I want us to come together as one family. What we're doing now, she's in a position where she's at and we're here. We pray for people to constantly come across her path, to speak something into her life that gets that switch to turn on and says, man, I got to have my family back. We haven't ignored her. We still call. She still calls us. But the sisters, they don't really communicate that much. And it hurts. So I like it when my family is here. And you're going to get to experience some of my family this summer. I got 4 grandkids that are going to be here for a while. And the one side of the family, my grandson and his sister, they speak what's on their mind. I have to tone them back just a little bit. You know, Penelope, she is so funny. I could sit here and talk about my grandkids. She's so funny. She didn't even know she's funny, but man, she's hilarious. But you know, when people talk about this family, when I talk about this family here, and guess what? I talk about you guys all the time. Just so you know, if your ears are ringing one day, it's probably because I'm talking about you. But what do I say? I have the best family, and we're working together. It blessed me on Friday that Dave Bowen came over here. Him and Lonnie were working together to fix something out here. Fix the mower. It blessed me. It was just a phone call away. And he was here and helped him. They got the things going. That blesses me to know that as a family, man, we're working well together. And so that was just such a blessing. I was 3 hours away. So I wasn't going to be able to fix it myself or help fix it. So just the two of them working together, that blessed us, blessed me and Carrie. But I say we have the best family. I say we're loving on each other. We're strengthening our relationships. And the first thing that I say to people when they ask about this church, I say we have the best people. I've said it before. Nobody will ever get me to talk negative about anybody in this church. Even if there is something I could say, which I can't think of anything off the top of my head. But even if there was something I could say, I won't say it. That's one thing I learned a long time ago. Just because it comes to your head doesn't mean you need to say it. That'll save you a lot of headache. And just because it comes to your head doesn't mean that you need to put it on Facebook. Guess what? It's never coming back once it's out in Facebook land. It's there. So let's think about what we say, think about what, you know, the things that we do and all those types of things. But like I say I have the best people. Why? Because love for you guys, all of you, is so important to Carrie and I. The relationships that we have with all of you is so important to Carrie and I. We want to build and we want to foster an atmosphere of love in this place. If we ever come across any animosity or anything between me and somebody here, if I'm feeling some frustration, I'll approach the person in love. I won't approach them and say, hey, here's what you did to me, and you better knock it off. I won't do that. Because as soon as you say that, immediately, defensive. They get defensive. And we don't want to do it. We want to keep the lines of communication open in this place. in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." That's the only thing that avails anything. I don't care who you are or what you've done, I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to interact with you. If you want faith to work, you have to love. Otherwise, faith doesn't work. Nothing works without love. If you're not being blessed, if you don't have peace, if you don't have joy, check on your love walk. Ouch. I was telling people on Wednesday night, I am a blessed man. Spirit, soul, body. Spiritual, emotional, financial. I'm blessed every way you look at it. Have I ever had a rough time financially? Sure. Carrie and I, we lived when we, at the end of paying all our bills, we had $1 left to make it for 2 weeks. Or we had $0 left to make it for 2 weeks. But I was still blessed. I still kept saying that I was blessed. And we are to this day. But we're talking about love. And we're talking about getting back to the gifts of the Spirit. In 1 John 4, 7, in the Passion Translation, it says, "Those who are loved by God, let His love continually pour from you to one another. Because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of Him. So everyone who loves is fathered by God. So everyone who doesn't love is fathered by..." I'll let you think about that one. So if you're a part of God, then you must love. If it would be easy to criticize, but love allows for faults. Mistakes. Love allows for those things. But Rick, when are we going to get into the gifts of the Spirit? Well, we're getting there. But if this foundation is not laid, we might get there today. In Mark 11, 24 and 25, 26, it says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." We're faith people. Whatever things we ask when we pray, believe that we received, and we shall have them. That's Bible. We can count on that. We can take that to the bank. That's a statement of fact. Okay, let's go to verse 25 and 26. "And whenever you stand praying, if you find that you carry something in your heart against another person..." Uh-oh, this is the very next verse. Yikes. "Release him and forgive him so that your Father in heaven will also release you and forgive you your faults." Oh, I can find fault with those people there, but... and I'm justified. No, you're not. You're not justified. You're called to love because God is love. Love does not live in the environment of unforgiveness. The gifts of the Spirit will not manifest in an environment where people are in a state of division and in unforgiveness. And if we want them to manifest, then I'm going to speak to me, get yourself right. And I'll tell myself too. Once in a while, maybe I will tell myself, get over yourself. Your opinion isn't the only thing that matters. Well, he's speaking tough today. Okay, well, let's move on then, since we don't like that. Let's see. But we're still talking about preparation for a move of God with manifestations of the Spirit as He wills. We're still talking about that, but we're leading up to that. In John 13, 35, it says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So let's read it this way. I like the definition of the word "if," and I've gone over it many a time here. "By this all will know that you are my disciples, in the event and on the condition you have love for one another." I'm giving a lot of scripture because I'm trying to drive home this point. We will not experience a move of the Spirit if we do not show love to one another. Have a good evening, everybody. We'll see you later. But everything works by love. It does. Everything works by love. The Bible is a love book. The Bible is a love story. Jesus was love. Jesus came here because of love. It's all about love. Whew. So a preparation for a move is love. So we got to ask ourselves, what does it look like in our lives? Are we loving people? Have we made amends with people, family members, whoever it may be? Have we made amends with those people so that we can say, okay, Lord, I'm where you want me to be. I'm positioning myself for you to be able to work in my life for the benefit of others and also for the benefit of me. He wants to bless us too. So I've painted this picture, kind of a vivid picture in the past of what my love walk looked like when I first started working at the prison. And it wasn't pretty. I've said it before, the first 3 years I worked there at the prison before I retired, I felt it was my job to make their lives as miserable as possible because of the way I was treated. And I was a different person back then until 3 years later, the Lord shook me and said, hey, I died for them just like I died for you. Woke me up from that point on. But I went through a couple of periods during that time. I went through a couple of periods where I would come home and I'm going to be open and honest with you here. I would come home and not want to talk to anybody. And there was one time for 6 months this went on. I would come home. I wouldn't want to talk to Carrie. I wouldn't want to talk to the kids. I would give minimal grunts or whatever, you know, or shoulder shrug, whatever it may be. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I allowed the environment that I was in to dominate and to rule the way that I felt, the way that I thought, all those different things. Now, Carrie, prior to me going into the academy or while I was at the academy in Springfield, they called all the family into a room and had this big auditorium, and they had a big old display of all the homemade weapons, knives, shanks that the inmates had made, and this is telling them this is what we're going to be facing because it's just the environment that we work in. But you're also going to notice that there's going to be potentially some emotional things that maybe they don't even realize that they're going through at the time, but you're going to see it. And I just want to give you fair warning that these types of things could potentially happen. And for about twice in those first 3 years, I went through a period like that where I didn't want to talk to anybody. And just wasn't in a position, my mind just wasn't in a position. I allowed my environment to dictate what I was thinking and what I was doing. Didn't make it right. I didn't want to ever justify that. It didn't make it right. But my love walk was on shaky ground at the time. And in Romans 12, 17, it says here, repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. I used to tell somebody, there's good in everybody. Sometimes you have to look a little harder in some, but there's good in everybody. In verse 18, it says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you. Oh, so I got a part to play in this. Okay. Live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It can eat you up. Unforgiveness can eat you up. The lack of love can eat you up. It can destroy relationships. And I believe that the relationships that I have, they're not just relationships. To me, every relationship I have is a divine appointment. That person was meant to be in my life. God placed that person in my life. He placed me into their lives. And so I need to display love as much as depends on me toward that person. So what was my sermon title again? Preparation for a move of the Spirit and spiritual gifts to be in operation. I had to learn in those 3 years, the first 3 years that I was there, I had to learn to go overcome evil with good. I had to learn to love again. When you're there for 3 years and you're called everything but your name, and you have threats made against you every day, have stuff thrown on you, you develop an attitude. Believe it or not, you develop an attitude. And I developed an attitude. Wasn't right, but I'll tell you what, once God woke me up, from that moment forward, I never had any of those things ever happen to me again. I looked for opportunities to be able to share the love of God, whether it was staff or whether it was inmates. I looked for opportunities. I wasn't looking for opportunities to give a word of knowledge, a prophecy. I was looking to share the love of God with those people. Now, in the process, if something like that would come along, have a word for them, I'm ready to share it. But it took me to reshape, to reevaluate, for God to wake me up and say, man, you got to love these people. I love them just like I love you. I died for them just like I died for you. Believe it or not, I'm just now getting to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But we're going to have to land this plane. We can't go here all day unless you want to be here till 5. Anybody, 5 o'clock? Okay. I guess that's a no. But we're going to start off. I'm not going to give a review next week, but we're going to start off right with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we'll probably spend just next week on that. And then we're going to jump over into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we're talking about the manifestations of the Spirit as He wills. But I just wanted to get across here today that in the past 4 weeks, I hope that I've made myself clear, kind of painted a vivid picture that everything works by love. And if we don't have love for one another, then the things that the move of God that needs to happen in our lives, Rick, you can't say that. Well, continue to hate people and see what happens. You're not going to have much joy. You're not going to have peace. You're not going to have those things going on in your lives. You're not going to have the gifts of the Spirit happening in your life. You're not going to have, name it. We've got to love each other. And as we love each other here, and people see the love that we have for each other here, what's it say? They'll know we're His disciples. People will be drawn to that. They'll be drawn, not to us, but they'll be drawn to the love that's on the inside of us that Jesus put there. Father, we just thank You for this morning here. We thank You that You are a good God. We thank You that You are a loving God. We thank You that You never let us down. We thank You that You have a plan and You have a purpose for our lives, for good and not evil, to give us a future and to give us a hope. But Father, we know that everything is based on the love that You have for us. As we receive it, the love that we have for others. And so, Father, as we're here, we know that Your word is true. We know that Your word it's not going to return void. Father, I know that it's prospering even right now. I know, Father, that Your word is working in the lives of the people in this room right now because it's working in my life right now. You're teaching me as I'm teaching. And I thank You for that. Father, as we come together as a family, and as those that begin to come here and be a part of this family, they'll recognize that love lives here, that love reigns here, that we don't hold people's faults against them, we don't hold people's mistakes against them, but we embrace those individuals and let them know that because You loved us, we love them. And Father, we know that as we leave this place here today, we know that we're not going to leave You here. But You go with us wherever we go. Remind us of the love that You have for us so that we can share that same love with the people that we come in contact with. Father, stir the gifts that are on the inside of us. But Father, most of all, stir the love that's on the inside of us.